Now, for more on all of this, I'm joined on the telephone by Craig Holman. Craig Holman is Public Citizens Government Affairs Lobbyist and expert on ethics, lobbying, and campaign finance rules. Craig Holman, thank you for your time.
Glad to be here, Mitch.
Of course, we don't know how much time we'll have until the trial gets underway. But, Craig, your reaction to the proposed rules that they're going to debate and work on today, vote on by the end of today for this impeachment trial?
They're right in the middle of it. Actually, both Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer gave introductory comments already. And now the Senate's gone into recess waiting for Justice Roberts to take the chair and then call the whole session back to order. The rules are really tainted to make this trial go very fast, to make it go really into the dark of the night, to exclude the American public from the proceedings going on here. Even though Mitch McConnell offered the rules as saying he's following the 1999 Clinton format, which tended to be very open and went on for about 5 weeks or so, this is nothing of the sort. Even though Mitch McConnell has borrowed the 24-hour limit for both the House managers and the White House managers, he's condensed it into 2 days each, and which means that, as you pointed out, these proceedings are going to go well into 2, 3 in the morning East Coast time, which just, will not be on anyone's television set anywhere. So it isn't as if the public is going to be much of much party to this whole impeachment trial. It really is designed to put the trial into the dark of the night.
You also have to wonder
everything up and get it over.
You also have to wonder what that will mean for senators. It's interesting, the rules for the senators. They won't be able to speak during the trial at all. And if they ever do debate anything, it'll be behind closed doors because it'll be considered deliberations by the Senate jury, which since this is a trial. But what that means for somebody to have to, they can't take their phones into the Senate chamber with them. They can't talk to each other while they're in the Senate chamber. I mean, you even hear that they could actually be under arrest and taken to jail if they were to break the decorum rules of the actual trial. So what that actually means to be able to sit there for 12 hours and just comprehend everything that's being said.
And from what I know of senators, that's got to kill them. I mean, they actually sit there.
But I think that would kill most people, right? I mean, my understanding is trials usually go 6-7 hours, not 12 hours.
Yeah, 12 hours is unconscionable. You know, even during the 16 hours of Q&A, which they're going to condense into probably 2 days, even the questions that senators ask, they don't actually ask them themselves. They send notes up to Justice Roberts to ask for them. So, the Senate is supposed to act in a very solemn fashion and be very silent and sit there and judge the merits of the evidence. And then they go into closed-door session to debate the merits, and after that they come out with their final votes.
Craig Holman, another important distinction between the rules that have been proposed by Mitch McConnell, and I don't think Mitch McConnell would have brought these rules to the floor today if he didn't think he had the 51 votes needed to pass it. Another distinction between these rules and what happened in 1999, and again, important to point out, Mitch McConnell all along has said that he would basically go by what happened in 1999 with Bill Clinton. Mitch McConnell also said that on Fox News with Sean Hannity that he would be taking his cues from the White House concerning the trial. It looks like that actually did occur. Another important distinction, though, that I want to get to in these rules is in 1999, all the evidence that was presented in the House of Representatives and that also Ken Starr, who was the press special prosecutor at the time, had concerning Bill Clinton was admitted right at the top of the trial. Here, the rules say that the evidence concerning Donald Trump and the, I guess we call it the Ukraine caper, will not be officially in the Senate record until after the oral arguments occur and after the senators get the opportunity to ask their questions. It will then be voted on by the Senate whether or not to admit the evidence that the House of Representatives found in its impeachment inquiry. What does that mean? Because I'm trying to figure out. The first thing I thought in my head was, well, wait a minute. Does this mean that in the oral arguments that they can even refer to the evidence?
Well, in the oral arguments, they will be referring to the evidence, but whether or not the evidence gets submitted in print for the senators to actually, judge, that won't happen until after there is an actual vote for submission of the evidence. This is highly unprecedented, as you're pointing out. You know, according to the Clinton trial, it was automatic that any of the evidence that the House had used for the impeachment was automatically submitted in writing to every senator. Not only that, but then beyond the automatic submission of evidence, any new evidence that the managers wanted to bring in was also submitted into the trial. And furthermore, testimony was accepted, even though they did not bring in new testimony orally before the Senate. They did bring them in as depositions and then made the discussions in those depositions public, not just to the Senate, but to the whole nation as well. The rules that Mitch McConnell are proposing, first of all, no automatic submission of the evidence in writing to the Senate, and it actually forbids any new evidence unless the Senate votes by a majority to approve any new evidence and new testimony.
Now, those are two different things. Those are two different things. The first one meaning what was discovered in the House impeachment inquiry. The second one would be, what you're talking about, new evidence, would be everything that we've learned since Donald Trump had been impeached.
And evidence that was not accessible to the House during the impeachment hearing. That includes all the appeals the House made for emails within the Department of State, within the Department of Defense, within the White House itself, on the whole matter dealing with the Ukraine. Trump ordered all these agencies to just lock down the evidence and not share it with the House impeachment managers. So they are asking, or Senator Schumer at this point, is asking for that evidence to also be introduced. You know, think about it. I mean, this is a trial. The impeachment was sort of like a grand jury that found that there is sufficient evidence to conduct a trial. The trial itself is supposed to use all the evidence available to determine guilt or innocence. And Mitch McConnell is pretty well rigging this trial, so the evidence will be difficult to be had.
I want to say, I'm sorry.
There are a couple swing Republican votes that may yet open up the trial to new evidence and new testimony. Schumer and the Democrats would have to get four Republicans to cross over in order to open up the trial to that. And that remains to be seen whether that'll happen.
So let's talk a little more about this new evidence that's out there. First, there were the emails that you referenced between the Department of Defense and the Office of Management and Budget, in which was discovered by the Center for Public Integrity that they obtained through a FOIA request that showed that the Department of Defense was worried about violating what's known as the Impoundment Control Act of 1974. This act basically says you have to spend the money that Congress appropriates for. You can't hold it back for policy reasons. You can if there are programmatic reasons, meaning that you find something wrong or some conditions aren't particularly met. But for policy, because you disagree with a policy, that you can't withhold money that Congress appropriates to particular programs. And then what is also in question in that vein of what would be allowed as new evidence is late last week, the Government Accountability Office, which is part of Congress, a bipartisan agency that, you know, looks for, you know, problems within government, reported that the Office of Management and Budget, which within the White House, did violate that law, the Impoundment Control Act of 1974. It's possible that that report wouldn't be a part of the evidence, isn't it?
That is correct. The GAO report came out after the impeachment hearing. And so the GAO report is not included in the body of evidence that the Senate can consider in determining guilt or innocence, along with those emails that you mentioned, and actually a number of documents and interactions between the various agencies that were made during the course of this entire scandal. And then on top of it all, we've got, you know, news statements coming out from people like Lev Parnas, and none of that will be submissible either, although the Democrats haven't even yet asked for that. So we're just looking at a Senate that really just wants to put on blinders when it comes to trying to determine guilt or innocence in this trial.
Yes, Lev Parnas. If we're going to get some good TV out of this, we're gonna need Lev Parnas at some point, Craig Holman.
By the way, I suspect we may yet get some good TV out of this, just because Trump has brought in some, you know, new attorneys who really like grandstanding. You know, you got Ken Starr and Dershowitz, and they do like grandstanding. So this could yet be a wild card in this whole process.
Well, Craig, staying on Trump's defense team, and there has been a lot of attention about Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr, who is the special prosecutor that helped bring the impeachment against Bill Clinton in late 1998. But the two leading members of the defense team are going to be the White House counsel, Cipollone, and also Jay
Cipollone, yeah.
And also Jay Sekulow. And Cipollone and Sekulow have, in some ways, have also, in their own way, have very much been a part of these controversies. Sekulow's name has been brought up even by Lev Parnas as potentially having a role in the whole pressure campaign against Ukraine. And Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, has been the one front and center keeping and justifying why no documents or witnesses were made available to the House impeachment process.
It certainly is amazing, isn't it, that the attorneys who are leading the Trump defense could, in fact, be witnesses providing evidence for the prosecutors. That really just shows what sort of a circus of a trial we're going into at this point. You know, and then go back to the basically the TV stars, Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr. I mean, both of these guys are surrounded in controversy themselves. You know, Alan Dershowitz has been a good friend of Jeffrey Epstein. He was the defense attorney for Weinstein. Ken Starr had to resign from Baylor University because of allegations that he didn't follow up on sex scandals. So we've got all the makings for an excellent television show. Too bad it's going to be happening in the dead of night.
Yeah, well, not all of it, but for you it will be, being on the East Coast. I mean, really, when these oral arguments begin, and this is one of the first big controversies that we're going to hear a lot about, 12 hours each day for the next 4 days, probably starting tomorrow. So Wednesday through Saturday, Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have 12 hours each day of oral arguments from the Democratic House managers. Now, they don't have to take all 12 hours each day or all 24 hours combined if they don't want to. It's up to them. But they have 2 days to use that time as they see fit. And then on Friday and Saturday, the defense team, Donald Trump's defense team, will also have 24 hours on Friday and Saturday to use. They have already indicated, at least I've seen some reports suggesting they may not use the entire 24 hours. Craig Holman, I'm a little bit surprised to here we are 18 minutes past the hour since the trial was supposed to begin, that they have literally begun with a in recess. What do you think that's about? Why do you think they're in recess right now?
And I'm still looking at the recess. And to tell the truth, it shows that this trial is going to begin very heated. Right now, they're debating the rules of procedure and whether or not they are going to follow the rules as you have laid them out here. And, you know, Chuck Schumer is fighting hard. I know he's introduced some amendments to open up the books to more evidence as well as witnesses, and they're debating the procedure for determining the procedure, and that's why they're sitting in recess right now.
And the reason they are in recess, and this will be important to note, is that we are not allowed to hear during the trial from the senators. In fact, they are not even allowed to hear from each other or speak during the actual trial. And so if for them to be able to debate the procedure before the procedure, and if that's what they're doing, they have to do this during closed doors. Now, neither of us are just outside the Senate chamber, but is that your sense of what's happening right now?
That's exactly what's happening right now. Schumer and McConnell are duking it out now, and I see they're just about to start. So I suspect we're going to get a quick vote on the procedures.
Well, this is John Roberts. Craig Holman, thank you, a public citizen. This is John Roberts.
Yes, thank you, Mitch. Take care.